Lourdes, a place currently celebrating a special Jubilee year to mark 150 years since Our Lady appeared to 14-year-old Bernadette Soubirous, who was a mere teenager at the time. To mark the feast day of Our Lady of Lourdes, which falls on the 11th of February, I thought I'd share with you a conversation with a person who lives and works at this French shrine in his quality as chaplain to the many English-speaking pilgrims who visit there. His name is Father Martin Moran from the Order of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate. Father Martin Moran, you belong to the Order of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate. Is there a specific reason for your serving as a chaplain in Lourdes?
Well, there's a specific reason, Veronica, in the sense that the Oblates were asked to take on the chaplaincies for the various language groups a number of years ago, and my own home province of the Anglo-Irish province was asked to supply the English language chaplain coordinator. You know, it fits in with our own charism and having Mary Immaculate as our patroness.
The apparition at Lourdes is connected to Mary Immaculate, no?
Yes, it is, because if you remember from the story of the apparitions, the lady, as Bernadette called her, the thing, the Aquero, didn't speak for a few of the apparitions, and then Bernadette was asked by the parish priest, ask her who she is, ask her to tell you who she is. And she said in the local dialect, I am the Immaculate Conception. And that was just a short time after that dogma had been pronounced by the Pope, that Our Lady was the Immaculate Conception. So it is very closely linked with the dogma, and it gave affirmation and confirmation to that, the apparitions here in Lourdes.
Lourdes is viewed as the shrine of water, of a miraculous spring, now with powerful healing energy. Do pilgrims go there to be physically healed from sickness or disability, or does the healing go beyond that?
Well, now, if I could just clarify something, Veronica. The water itself isn't looked on as miraculous. It was a miraculous event that the spring came forward whenever Our Lady asked Bernadette to dig at the earth, and she had to try about four times, and first of all, the water ran quite muddy, and then it ran clear, and that spring has been running since the time of the apparition. But the waters themselves are not curative or healing. It all depends on the faith of the individual. And yes, many people do come to Lourdes looking for physical healing. They do. But many more come just asking God to help them live their lives as best they can, and they leave Lourdes. And we talk about miracles that have been declared formally by the Church, but many, many people would say that every day there are miracles here at Lourdes, and I'm not saying that in any flippant way, but, you know, people are touched deeply by God and are very aware of His presence in their lives.
Lourdes is currently celebrating its Jubilee year, marking as it does a century and a half since Our Lady appeared to Bernadette there, no?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
And there's a monthly calendar of events, I believe, outlined for the occasion. I noticed it's not just about Mary, the sick, the disabled, which is what you would expect, but it's also about sharing the life of the Church more in general. Why is that, do you think?
I think because Lourdes was never something that was meant to be inward-looking, and looking at the celebrations for the 150th anniversary of the apparitions, we were asked, you know, to think on what Lourdes is meant for today. What is Lourdes about? It's about sharing the gospel with the 21st century and the aspects of the gospel that are manifested in Lourdes. And Bishop Jacques Perrier, the Bishop of Tarbes in Lourdes, he put forward what he's calling 12 missions that will be highlighted at various times during the year. Missions of the Church, but as I say, that Lourdes would feel it has a certain expertise in helping to further the gospel today. And that's the wonderful thing about Lourdes. It's nothing about it is contrary to the gospel.
What are these missions exactly?
For example, you know, today we have a large conference of the international gathering of the people who come here to help in Lourdes, knowing as the Hospitalier. They're meeting and they're taking up the first mission, and that is the Church in Mission with its volunteers in the service of others. And that's, you know, very appropriate for today, very appropriate for Lourdes. Another mission is the Church in Mission with Mary. We are called to follow the example of Mary and to give our yes to God as she gave her yes, or to God through the angel. Another mission is the Church in Mission with young people. how we can help young people to discover Christ in their lives and to be a part of the church and to be the church not just of tomorrow, as often people say, but the church of today also. Another one that is very much associated with Lourdes is people who do come here looking for physical healing. And one of the missions that we have is the church in mission with people with disability. Another one that I've just looked at here is the church in mission for peace. Again, working for peace, you know, in our own world, between countries and within ourselves. So, as I say, that's just a few of them, but there is a website dedicated especially to the Jubilee Year, and all the missions will be found on that website. And if I may give it to you, it's Lourdes2008.com, and that will give you all the information about the Jubilee Year.
It may be an extraordinary year, but ordinary life goes on just the same in Lourdes. No, people go to immerse themselves in the waters and hope to be healed. Life goes on, doesn't it?
Life goes on. Yeah, it will be an extraordinary year in that we're celebrating a wonderful anniversary. But I liken it to, you know, a couple celebrating their wedding anniversary, and every year they celebrate that. But, you know, for their silver wedding or their golden wedding anniversary, that's a very special year. But at the core of that, you've got two people who love each other and who come to publicly celebrate the fact that they're celebrating that anniversary. And so it's the same for Lourdes. Like, many people will come next year, or this year if we're anticipating it by a day, will come to Lourdes to celebrate the Jubilee, but people who have been coming for a number of years, you know, to experience that which Lourdes has to offer. So yes, the ordinary will go on, but in the context of the Jubilee, in the context of the anniversary.
The Shrine has always exercised a ministry of welcome, which is something you do as well, no?
Yes,
it can't
is, yeah.
always be easy to do that. I mean, when the suffering reach here, they've been travelling and are in pain perhaps, and those who are accompanying them are pretty tired. How do you deal with that?
Well, Lourdes could not survive without its volunteers. And I think the last figures I heard just a few weeks ago is that Lourdes has about 100,000 people who come here as volunteers to work at various times through the year. So certainly you're right in saying that people come here tired, especially if they've come over land on a long train journey or bus journey. But there will be a team of volunteers waiting to receive them, to welcome them, working in the two hospitals that the sanctuary has, the Acai Notre Dame and the Acai Marie San Frey. They're not your regular type of hospital, but they're set up like that for people who need a little bit more care, and they're there to welcome those people, to give them rest, and, you know, great care is taken of the sick. And then, of course, for the ordinary pilgrim, you know, there are lots and lots of hotels in the town.
You must have spoken to a lot of pilgrims in the time that you've been in Lourdes. They've obviously spoken to you about their reaction to the place. Is there something that stands out in a special way, do you think?
What stands out for me over the year is that people come and they get on, you know, say the helpers that come, they come and they get on with their work, and they're really giving of themselves. They're doing it voluntarily. They've taken their own annual leave to do that, so they're giving up their holidays to do this voluntary work. So those people stand out. And another incident during the year, a young husband came with his wife, and his wife had been here before, and he came. Now, I wouldn't say he was sceptical or cynical or anything, but just your ordinary Catholic, if you say. And he was extremely touched and moved by the whole experience of the grotto and the baths and the processions that go on here. And to see him, his face was visibly moved by all he witnessed here, you know, with the sick who come and the way they're looked after and cared for. So those sorts of images come to mind as you ask that question. And then the people who want to talk to a priest, who maybe haven't spoken to a priest at a deep level for whatever number of years that might have happened, and they find that very reassuring, to be affirmed in their faith. And if they're able to offload any baggage they've been carrying for years, you know, a worry or something that's been on their minds, you know. So those things are the things that happen here on a daily basis.
But surely there must be people who come with great expectations and are disappointed, no?
I honestly haven't met that. I honestly haven't met them. Like, people come, again, I can think of some people who came for a physical cure. I can think of a family, a mother and father brought their very severely handicapped daughter, and they came looking for a cure for her, and they spent the week here. And, you know, they did all the things that pilgrims do, the processions, going to the baths, taking part in the various liturgies, the masses that we have here. But at the end of the week, they said, we came for one thing, but we're leaving with another. And what they were leaving with was that they found a new strength to be able to be with their daughter in a new way. They found strength to look after their daughter. And that was quite a powerful thing for them and for us to be with them during that week. You know, so they didn't leave disappointed. They left here changed with a very renewed sense of their own faith, but also a new strength and a renewed strength in their lives. I genuinely can't say I've met people who leave disappointed. They leave tired but not disappointed.
And some of them leave shocked because... In Lourdes, like in all shrines, it's not something specific to Lourdes. There's also the commercial element with the glitz of the tacky souvenirs under neon lights.
Yeah.
How does all this fit in with the faith that brings people here? Do the pilgrims actually enjoy that sort of thing?
I think for the first time pilgrim, they enjoy going to the shops, getting souvenirs, you know. Like what I say to people, you know, if you go to wherever, you know, an ordinary resort for your holiday, most people like to bring back a souvenir, you know, and they'll want something tangible, A, for themselves, and B, you know, a little memento for a friend or family they'd like to take back as souvenir. And then as time goes on, for people who have, you know, been here several times, that tends to not be as such a part of their pilgrimage. But it is still, you know, a part for most people that they want to bring back some Lourdes water or a little medal or something. But it's not actually in conflict with what goes on in the sanctuary, because once you step through the gates into the sanctuary area, the domain, you're in a different world. And there isn't a conflict there. You know, I mean, yeah, it's down to each person's individual taste. It really doesn't feature once people enter into the domain.
Our thanks there go to Father Martin Moran of the Oblates of Mary Immaculate, the English language chaplain for the shrine at Lourdes. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.